So if you're wondering tonight, rightly so, why there's a church service in the middle of the week on Wednesday, it's the right question. It's unusual. There's not any other called feast, maybe Epiphany that rotates around at time, but this called feast on Wednesday, why do we do that? And the answer to that question tells us what the next 7 weeks are about for us. And the worship of Ash Wednesday on a Wednesday arises at the very early parts of the church. In the very earliest centuries, Easter in spring became the celebration of the Lord's resurrection. And it also became immediately the season in which people were baptized into the faith. And so the church instituted a season for preparation. To be baptized into God's community required prayer and a rending of the heart and a preparation of the soul to be united to the church and to be in service to God. And so at the beginning, it was a two-day preparation, and it expanded at some points to 2 weeks. And then eventually it became 6 weeks, which is 36 days. Because during Lent, a Sunday is always a fast day. You never fast on Sunday. And so it remained 36 days for some time. And then the early church recognized this parallel with Jesus' own 40 days in the desert and his own preparation for his earthly ministry and his own resurrection. And the pattern with Israel in the desert 40 years out of Egypt in order that they might possess the land of promise. And so the feast of Ash Wednesday as a feast was moved back 4 days to 40 on a Wednesday. So here we are. 40 days from now, not counting Sundays, we look forward to a feast. And that is the meaning of this day. And I want to lay out the season ahead of us, not just today, but the season that lies ahead with three simple themes, maybe risking oversimplifying, but what should we think about in the weeks to come? There is a vision of this season, there's a process, and there is an experience that we will have. So the vision that we have in the season of Lent is a vision of the resurrection, of the life that we already have welling up and growing in our bodies of Christ's body, redeemed and raised and perfected. Just before our passage in 2 Corinthians today, if we'd gone back 3 verses, it says, "For if anyone is in Christ, new creature, new creation, the old has passed away, the new has come." Easter is a feast because it looks with joy to the fact, as Paul says in Romans, that I have been buried in Christ in his death so that I might be raised again in his likeness in his resurrection. This body of mine belongs already to the resurrected life. It is in that domain that it belongs, and it will stay there. And so we look ahead on this day to that Sunday where we will live that out as a community. But it's the vision. It's way out there. It helps to think, if you've ever climbed a mountain or a hill, that you have to set out, you have to have equipment, you have to train and be prepared. If you've run a race or a marathon, there is a season of preparation. And so we look out on that time with a vision for where we will go. We wake up each morning in Lent and say, that is the goal. So with the goal and the vision in mind, there is a process which we participate in together. There's a readiness that's necessary for us. We have to remove from our minds any sense that Lent and its fasting and its simplicity of life is a punishment. You go to your room for 40 days until I tell you to come. This parental kind of banishment. There's nothing punishing about the fasting and the care we'll take in the weeks of prayer ahead. They are preparatory. They're healing. Our psalm, just a few verses before we read today, he heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. When we turn back to God, he puts to us his hands of the great physician, and he begins to renew and to make well. The vision in Isaiah, then the ancient ruins will be built up and your bones will be healed. God picks up the mess we've made of our world and of our life, and he blows new life into them. The season before us is preparatory. Get yourself ready before you stand before the Lord on Easter morning and say, I believe in God the Father. I believe in God the Son. Be ready for him. Put aside all those habits, all those attitudes that have weighed us down. This beautiful image, isn't it, from Isaiah? Rend your hearts and not your garments. A Christian writer says, to rend your garments makes you only cold. To rend your heart is to open the door of your life to the powerful work of his Spirit. Open up to him and say, Lord, enter in. And then reflect this season of preparation. Why is it that I turn to this sin time after time? Why does this habit, why does this addiction dog my days? Why the anger, the pride, the lust, the impatience? And in Lent, we prepare and say, God, enter in and show me that I might turn. Repentance means to turn back, to renew the habits that we owe to God at that feast of Easter. To renew again old habits, to look at why we step in certain directions at certain times, a season of thinking through the steps we make in life so that we might turn again and loose the bonds of those who are oppressed, that we might feed those who are hungry, that we might clothe those who are in need, that we might be loving and kind to those who need a word of compassion. That we might lift ourselves out of our selfish worlds and out of our displays and entertainments and distractions, and give ourselves to the world around us in need. It is a custom during Lent to fast, to give something up. If you did not fast today, I'm sorry. God is not punishing you, but he invites you. It is customary through every Friday in Lent to fast. Fast through lunch or fast through an early dinner. Give something up, not as punishment, not as a beating up of the body by self-will and determination, but that so that when you're hungry, you remember, oh, Lord, open my heart and teach. Instruct me in why I don't turn back to you again. That's the purpose of the fasting. It provides a reminder when your mind and your body grow weak to draw your mind back to the feast and the vision that's lying ahead of us and to prepare again and be ready. So we have a vision, and there's a process, and there is an experience or an emotion that goes with Lent. And it's summed up wonderfully in these seven pairs that Paul lays out for us. We are known to be suffering, but always rejoicing, dying, and yet alive, poor, and yet having everything. This is the really maybe tricky part of the Christian vision that we renew during Lent, is that as we walk through the season, we walk through with two realities side by side, that these are dying, decaying, weak pieces of flesh that will go to their grave. Ars moriendi, the art of dying well. We hold that in its sorrow and its aches. The skin thins out, the blood vessels thin, the brain doesn't work as well, you don't sleep as well as you age. Your memory begins to fade. You stumble. The bodies will weaken. And rather than hiding from it or distracting ourselves or taking up a great health regimen, only for the purpose of extending it, we embrace the sorrow of death. We come alongside those who are suffering and those who are in sorrow because as long as we work to sustain these bodies, they will die. We hold the sorrow open-handed. It is our journey in this world. And we hold it side by side with the life that's already bound up in it. The life that will overcome the sting of death. And we hold them. That's our journey in this time till the Lord returns, until he calls us into his kingdom. We will be people of sorrow and yet also rejoicing. Suffering and yet of great hope. Think of that today when you come forward to receive ashes. We mark you. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. If we extended the liturgy, it would be altogether true to say you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And you are in Christ, and to life everlasting you will enter. Let us journey together, friends, in these 40 days. Amen.